This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former Louisiana Democratic Senator John Breaux, who during his many years in Congress worked very intensely on health care reform issues, in fact serving in critical positions on special commissions appointed by the likes of President Clinton and President George W. Bush. We want to get his thoughts as Democrats in the House and Senate this week roll out what they hope will be close to the final version of health care reform legislation. And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you.
You're on the record as being in support very much of what Max Baucus put together in the Senate Finance Committee. His was the one of five different congressional bills not to include the public option. Why do you believe that's the right way to go?
Well, I think the Finance Committee bill is a decent compromise between people who want the government to do everything and those who don't want the government to do anything. And I think somewhere in between, like the Finance Committee bill, is a good solution. I mean, I think that one thing on the public option that we did in the past when we did prescription drugs was to say, look, we're going to do insurance reform and require companies to provide certain standards of care. And if they don't do it, then the government will come in and offer it. And after we finished that product, the insurance industry was able to meet everything we wanted them to do. Now have a product that is not run by the government, but that seniors benefit from. It's come in at a cheaper price than anybody estimated it to. And seniors, by an overwhelming margin of almost 90%, supported very strong. I think that type of pattern is what the Finance Committee is looking towards putting out there, and hopefully will end up as the final product.
How much government involvement should there be? The co-op idea is in this bill. It hasn't been articulated real clearly as to whether the government would have much of a role or no role in that. What do you think ought to be the organization of that?
Well, I think the answer to most of these big, serious health problems is to allow the government to do what they do best and allow the private sector to do what they do best. The private sector can bring about competition and innovation and new ideas and help control prices through competition, and the government can help pay for it and make sure nobody's trying to scam it. Again, that's what we did with Medicare prescription drugs, and it's worked very well. And I think that if you have the government saying to insurance companies, here's what you have to cover. You have to cover preventative health care. You have to take all comers. You can't discriminate. You can't arbitrarily cancel. We have to pay providers differently than we have been in the past. And then you have the government help pay for it. Then you've taken the best of what government can do and combined it with the best of what the private sector can do. I think if we can reach that point, I think we could reach a compromise which would get both Republican as well as Democratic support.
Senator, as you know, we just saw that during fiscal year 2009, we had a deficit of $1.42 trillion. And obviously, the cost of this over the next decade or so is very important to a lot of people, with some critics, public option aside, saying that if you factor in costs such as the reimbursement of physicians for their Medicare services and things like that, you're really looking at north of $1 trillion. And in the end, that's going to be another burden on the taxpayers. How do you make sure that there isn't a massive deficit addition if this goes through?
Well, first of all, it's a good question, obviously, and a lot of people have that as foremost of their concerns. But right now, I mean, people who don't have insurance are costing everybody who has insurance more because they have to pay more for their policies because it's covering everybody who doesn't have insurance. So that concept of giving everybody insured makes sense, and it will help save people who have insurance money because you'll have so many more people who perhaps are healthier involved in the insurance pool. So they also are raising money. I mean, call it taxes or calling it having to, like the House has, is a tax on upper-income people. The Senate's looking at taxing these high-end health policies. So they're raising money, and the actual cost of it is not going to add to the deficit if you look at the money they're raising. So, I mean, there's some raising revenues in this bill as well to help pay for the additional cost. But I think the bottom line is that the system we have right now is costing the American public a great deal already. So if we can improve the system, perhaps we can get the cost down and hopefully pay for it without increasing the deficit. That's what the CBO tells us these bills have the ability to do.
Senator, sounds like you agree with most of those drafting this legislation that at least individual and maybe employer mandates ought to be part of this. What do you say to those who say that people ought to have the option to determine whether they cover themselves and ought not to necessarily pay a penalty if they don't?
Oh, I think individual requirement of getting insurance is an absolute necessity. There are half the people who don't have insurance are young people between the ages of 18 and 34. Half of them work for companies that offer it. They just don't get it. They decide, I'm not going to ever get sick, so I'm not going to pay my premiums, and I'm not going to buy insurance. Well, they should be buying insurance. I mean, we require them to have insurance if they get a driver's license to cover liability insurance. And these people who don't have insurance still get sick and still get in an accident, and everybody else who has insurance is paying for everybody who doesn't, many of which simply because they don't want to buy it. So they ought to be required as a responsible thing to do to purchase health insurance, and if they can't afford it, well, the government will help them pay some of their premiums, but they should be in an insurance pool. It would be good for everybody.
Senator, Republicans have complained, as you know, about not being invited to a large degree into this process. Do you believe that this has been a fair approach on the Hill, or the Republicans have some validity there?
Well, both parties have made mistakes in the past, and I guess we'll continue to do so by excluding the other party members from the process. I think that they were very much involved in the process in the Senate Finance Committee, for instance, and negotiated right up to the very end. And, of course, now they have indicated they're not going to support the product, and so I think Senator Harry Reid's going to have to say, all right, I got to work with the people who have a chance of supporting it, and that's why he's working with the Democrats. But at some point, it's going to have to come to the floor, and Republicans will have every opportunity to make their positions very, very clear. Hopefully, he'll be able to find a way to get 60 votes, and I think that one way would be to pattern the bill after what we did with Medicare prescription drugs, which has worked very well. If he does that, it could be a bipartisan bill.
You said before, Senator, that you believe government ought to do what it does best and let the private sector do what it does best. Some of the Republican ideas out there have been allowing people to shop for health care policies across state lines, tax credits specifically to purchase health insurance plans, expansion of health savings accounts, and of course they talk about malpractice and tort reform. Which of those ideas, if any, do you like and think ought to be seriously considered?
Well, I think many of them are good ideas. Across state lines, selling, I think, is something that needs to be considered. It has a lot of merits to it. I think health savings accounts are really good if you're never going to get sick, but not too good if you're going to get sick. But, I mean, it's something that should be debated and discussed. I mean, the fact that they have ideas should not automatically be excluded just because they're Republican suggestions. I mean, you ought to look at them on the merits and try and incorporate those that you can and argue against those that you think don't work. But, I mean, you know, no party has a monopoly on good ideas. I mean, both sides have good ideas, and the trick to legislation is to incorporate the best from both sides. And it's not going to be all government or no government. It's going to be somewhere in between. And I think the Finance Committee bill reflects that, and hopefully they can ultimately get to a process that gets that type of bill, ultimately the vehicle that goes to the president for his signature.
Senator, last question before we let you go. What do you expect the final version to look like?
Well, if it's going to pass, I again would say that it's going to have to be something that resembles what we did with Medicare, close to what they did in the Finance Committee. And like I said, one that combines the best of what government does with the best of what the private sector does. And I think the finance bill comes pretty close to meeting those requirements in my mind. And I think the president would certainly, I feel, be willing to sign something like that.
Senator, thank you very much for your time today.
Absolutely. Stay in touch.
Former Louisiana Democratic Senator John Breaux. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.